From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. This is Locked On Chiefs. The Chiefs are sitting in a quagmire waiting to get something done, and eventually it's got to break loose. That's really where we're at this point in the offseason. And we've talked a little bit about just what has to happen. Matt Derrick's going to join us here again in a little bit. We're going to go over the Jones situation and how it plays into everything else, because it is, again, one of the roadblocks right now to getting anything else done. Together with Sammy Watkins, the two of them have so much tied up in the cap between the tag and Sammy's contract. It is difficult to do anything, but the Chiefs did make that signing we talked about yesterday just for a quarterback, really low-end contract, so they were able to squeeze it in there. But at this point, it's all turning towards, when is this going to happen? We're hearing from people around the league starting to wonder that. Some outspoken people, both on social media and within the league circles, that are questioning what the timeline might be. And that leads me back to having to break that down and get that squared away is one thing. And it does allow you to continue to plan and hopefully garner more draft picks. That's the whole point. If you move either of them, you hope to get something back in return in the form of draft capital so that you can make new selections on this coming draft class. And even though it's pretty far-fetched for me to think that Sammy Watkins is one guy that could bring some value, Chris Jones certainly is. And even if he isn't, you have to continue your preparations in what is the strangest pre-draft process we've ever seen in the modern NFL. And it comes back to, let's roll with the assumption you're picking at 32 and you haven't gotten anything done. Eventually, there will be cap space. Something will have to be done. And if that's the situation, we've seen a lot of mock drafts coming around towards the corner class is going to have some value there. That if they're stuck at 32, that they haven't gotten a higher pick and they haven't been able to trade back at that point, that they're going to have some options. Those options are starting to include Trevon Diggs from more people around the league, as I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Even though I'm starting to come off of that selection in favor of someone else, which I'm going to get to next week, it is a turning point. And I think because of the evaluations, as they continue to go on, and everybody's going back to the tape, both in terms of outside analysts like me and like Draft Network, etc., as well as internals, because you don't have the pre-draft process, the visits, etc., and the pro days, you have to go back to the tape, and that's changing a little bit of opinion here as we all catch up to where the teams are at. And I think the corner is definitely an option, but so is the linebacker group. And we're starting to see that there could be off-ball linebackers that can play coverage, that can come downhill when they have to, not necessarily to take on guards like they did in the old days, but to sniff out screens, to play the run some in what is a substitution for the run game and the short passing game and the screen game, etc., that there's going to be an option there or two for the Kansas City Chiefs. And maybe it could be Patrick Queen. Maybe it could be Ken Murray. We're going to have to see. I'll detail those over on RGR here later in the week. But for right now, let's get this out of the way, come back, and get with Matt Derrick and talk about Chris Jones. To get your copy of The Athletic Matrix, go to rogueapc.com and use the code LOC20 to get 25% off of your purchase of The Athletic Matrix Metrics Report for the 2020 NFL Draft. That's over at rogueapc, that's rogueapc.com, and get The Athletic Matrix today. And now we're back with Matt Derrick because I just wouldn't let him go. Thanks for hanging in, Matt.
Absolutely, Ryan.
You thought you were going to get rid of me, and it just isn't going to happen.
Never want to get rid of you, man. Never.
I'm a tick. It's okay. Funnily enough, just after we finished recording yesterday's show, we found out through Albert Breer, we just found out $555K is the Chiefs cap space at this point. You had mentioned that yesterday. Does that surprise you? This is supposedly from the NFL's internal cap number.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said yesterday we were counting it in the hundreds of thousands, and it's 500,000. So, yeah, no, that's not a surprise at all. I mean, the little public service announcement for Over the Cap and Spotrac, those are absolutely great websites for getting information, but they're never 100%. They can't be, I mean, because that's just, you know, the teams, they got their own contracts. I mean, and even though you can get a lot of this information through the NFLPA, if you know the right people, there's still little tiny deals like escalators and maybe when a player gets released, you know, what's, so there's just some, you know, really small, sometimes it's even just really small signing bonuses that players get that, you know, just get overlooked. So there's a never 100% accurate. Well, the NFLPA's earned total reports are completely accurate. So yeah, $555,000 fits exactly what I would expect them to have right now.
So just going forward, so the NFL's number is the gold standard and the NFLPA matches it, or are they separate calculations?
No, the NFL and the NFLPA are the same numbers. The okay. NFLPA normally has a public salary cap report that they publish daily. Right now, it's still kind of stuck in 2019. And I think that part of that is because of all the uncertainty with, you know, the contracts out there right now and what's official and what's not. The NFL internal report is a little bit different than the NFLPA in that it's, you know, from the teams themselves. And the NFLPA is from the contracts that are filed with the NFLPA. So those two numbers could be different depending on the time that they're pulled and when a contract's been processed. But they're depending on the time, they should match up perfectly.
Well, I think that's good to know. So that as we watch this, because you're right, a lot of folks check over the gap in Spotrac just to get an idea of where they're at. But we know the source of truth when we see it, and that's a good thing to know. Because the Chiefs in particular are a team that you got to know down to the penny at this point because of so little action that we talked about yesterday. And unlike Sammy Watkins that we spoke about in depth, folks, if you missed that one, go back and check yesterday's episode. The Chris Jones scenario is completely different. And I have my opinions. I want to know yours. Was this going down a road that could have gotten done until the Buckner trade happened?
I don't know about that. I mean, the Buckner trade probably just, you know, put a little bit more in concrete exactly, you know, what the ceiling and is for a contract and probably what the compensation would be too if the Chiefs are going to entertain a, you know, a tag and trade situation. I think that the biggest holdup has probably still been that all indications are that Chris Jones wants to be one of, if not the highest paid interior lineman in the league. And, you know, and right now, I mean, that the Buckner deal's not it. I mean, he's still looking at Aaron Donald kind of money. And I don't think that frankly, Chris Jones is looking at anything less than what Frank Clark got a year ago. I mean, I think that's probably still the floor as to what he's looking for. Now you get a lot of other sources out there will tell you that, you know, that's too much for Chris Jones. And you know what? None of us really know what the Chiefs are factoring in. I mean, we don't really know what the Chiefs are valuing, what they want. I will say this, that if the Chiefs were willing to match Chris Jones's price, this would be a done deal. So clearly they're not. Clearly there's some distance between these two sides. And there doesn't seem like there's been a lot of heat as far as, you know, getting a deal done. That handicaps the Chiefs in the sense that the sooner they can get a deal done, the sooner they can realize some cap savings and it gives them more freedom and for 2020. But, you know, if it weren't for that, if it was just what if in a, you know, in a really just isolation, there's really no urgency between these two sides to get a deal done until training camp. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's there's not a sense of urgency other than the Chiefs' salary cap needs that there's a, you know, a reason to get a deal done. And deadlines are what make deals. And right now, the deadline for these two sides is not now.
That makes perfect sense to me. The only thing that concerns me is I feel like this, if it's going to be a trade, I think it's got to happen before the draft or it doesn't pay off the way you need it to in this coming season. So beyond that, does the fact that there might not be much urgency in general compared with, like you said, the ceiling for what compensation might look like and the fact that everybody's working from home, that it's just a general mess around the NFL. Does that lead you to a point where maybe the organization feels like, man, it's harder and harder for us to get the compensation that we're looking for. Maybe we have to double down on trying to get that extension done. Does that create any movement in your mind?
It could. I mean, and you're right. I mean, I think that the for a tag and trade situation, absolutely. A draft is really the deadline for that. So if the Chiefs don't get a deal before that, you know, a trade really really starts to look like it has diminished value. Not that it can't get done, but it's going to be more a little bit more difficult to do, and I think probably to get the value that the team would want. The other problem, like we've talked about, has just been, you know, finding the right suitor. I mean, what team is it out there that matches up well enough and that they've got the draft picks that the Chiefs want? And two, they've got the need where they believe that Chris Jones is that guy that's going to get them over the hump. That's a really small list. And, you know, clearly maybe the Colts were one of those teams. They're off the board right now. The Dolphins are a team that's got some draft picks. Are they really in a position where they say that Chris Jones is the piece that's they're missing? And on top of that, you know, they're trying to figure out what their quarterback's going to be. And, you know, that's probably the more pressing need for the Dolphins is figuring out who they're going to draft a quarterback and what currencies it's going to take to get the guy that they want. So, I almost feel like that from a trade standpoint, that's probably one of the pieces that's going to have to fall into place first, is that Chris Jones, if you're going to get the value, is probably not the guy that's going to get traded first. It's going to be some of the quarterback trades with some teams jockeying for position, trying to figure out where they're going to maybe move up and who's going to end up with some picks. That's probably going to be the first piece to fall. Now, as far as if the Chiefs do end up keeping Chris and, you know, getting a deal done, I don't see that there's really any sense of urgency on either side. And if anything, I think that the Chris Jones camp would say, you know what, the later the better for us, mm-hmm. because it's going to get to a point eventually where, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to kind of just make a move. And at that point, you know, it's going to be maybe a little bit more leverage in his favor.
Well, and I like what you said about the Dolphins, because I think that's the prime trade partner myself. But I do feel you hit the nail on the head in that their quarterback question is the delivery point. I feel like their defensive line would be well-rounded for Jones to be the highlight in what they've done, and they have been adding a lot of defense this offseason. They have been much more proactive in changing their roster than most teams. But I feel especially the pick that I have been most keen on thinking could work out would be number 26 from Miami to the Chiefs for Chris Jones, along with another lower-end pick. But now I feel like that quarterback question is driving so much of that organization now that they feel they've gotten a base underneath their defense. I feel like that maybe they're trying to go up to one to get Burrow. That seems to be a couple of rumors are leaking out. And to me, that sounds like 26 isn't going to be available for them to do anything with, because they're going to have to use it to go up and get their guy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I really think that the question is just, what are the Dolphins going to do at quarterback? I mean, they've got to have that settled before they can move on to start looking at other pieces. And you know what? If they want to move up to make sure they get Burrow, yeah, that means that there's going to be another team that ends up maybe with some extra currency. And then does that team become, you know, maybe a trade partner for the Chiefs? It's hard to say. I mean, because once again, you look out at, you know, who are the playoff teams with, or potential playoff teams with draft picks that need a defensive interior lineman, you know, that's a tougher question. And I think, hey, it benefits the Chiefs now that Chris Jones has shown he can play in different schemes. He's not just a 3-4 or 4-3 guy. He can do a lot of different things. Now he's always going to be a pass rush first guy, but that's got a lot of value too. So, but you know, it's, and Brett Veach has really hit on this before. I mean, it's a matter of having the team with the need and the resources and the currency and the motivation to go do it. The Chiefs gave up a lot for Frank Clark, but that's exactly where they were a year ago. They were the team that was exactly what they needed, and they had a first round pick to give up.
Well, and I think for what you're saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that this might be a more exciting draft for Chiefs Kingdom in the first round, rather than waiting to the last pick of the draft. And folks, if you haven't heard by now, I'm going to live stream my reaction for the entire first round that night. I might even pull in some guests, so keep your ears open. But when we get back, we're going to dig into a couple of things that you said that stood out to me. I like what you said. Deadlines do make things happen. And if that does come down, if they move and they get rid of 26, maybe that's another option for the Chiefs to try to do something else. Could we see another really active couple of first rounds for the Chiefs up and down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, where the Chiefs are at a couple of different things. And remember, one of them is the fact that they are tied for the fewest number of picks in this draft with 5. So, you know, yeah, sitting there at 32, hey, right now, Chiefs are in the first round, but I'm not completely sold that they're going to stay in the first round because they kind of need more picks. I mean, they do need a little bit more currency. Now, you know, you can't look at just things in a one-year vacuum, you know, because if you look at what's happening with the free agent class this year, and let's be realistic. I mean, even though the Chiefs do free up some cap space, they're not going to necessarily go out and just add a bunch of guys. So, but right now, certainly with the Kendall Fuller deal, the Emmanuel Ogba deal would fit in with, you know, a compensation wise. There's a few more players that might fit in there that the Chiefs might end up with a fairly healthy haul of compensation picks in 2021. And that wouldn't be a bad thing. And it would certainly help, you know, level out a little bit of maybe the leanness of what looks like could be the 2020 class. That's playing in their favor. Cause at this point, I don't expect the Chiefs to necessarily be going out and spending a lot of money picking up external free agents. So this could be a little bit of, you know, balancing the draft classes is that whatever leanness is this year, they might make up for next year. And certainly if they're able to maybe, you know, make a few other trades and everything like that to augment future classes.
Well, and I'm glad that you put it that way because there are some other fish to fry as well. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to check in around the AFC West. And just before I let you go, I won't keep you too long, but I want to get your take because you just reminded me of a couple of things that I find a little bit interesting. First, the Chiefs had some kind of discussion with Chris Harris, clearly wanted more money than they were able to do. He ends up staying in the division, though. What do you think about Chris Harris playing for the Chargers?
That's a loaded secondary for the Chargers. I mean, that's they're building around defense. That's for sure. I mean, that's what they're going for. I mean, that should be a really, really tough defense. I don't know if I'm going to buy their offense, but they will, I think, could arguably field the best defense in the AFC West next season.
Ooh, that's putting it strongly. I like that. Another guy, one that I actually rumored I thought could come to Kansas City and play a Taysom Hill kind of role. The Raiders end up giving, 17.5 to Marcus Mariota to be their backup. Is that somebody who's going to supplant Carr with that salary investment?
Just based on what we've seen, you can't imagine that. I mean, you know, and hey, I'll admit, you know, I'm looking at this through rose colored glasses, you know, because I've generally, for the most part, not been impressed with anything that the Raiders have done since John Gruden went back there. I mean, I feel like that, you know, last year it looked like they were building a team that was built to win the AFC West in 2011. Right now, I think they're building a team that's built to win the AFC West in 2017. I'm still not entirely impressed with what they're doing. I mean, there's a lot of big names and they're throwing some money around. I just don't know how that's going to, you know, really build into a team. And Mariota, what have we seen from him that makes you think that he can be the guy? I agree. I mean, with the right coaching, maybe the right atmosphere, you know, maybe he gets in with an Andy Reid that can fix him. Can John Gruden fix Marcus Mariota? I don't know, because he hasn't fixed Derek Carr.
So you're saying Chucky doesn't have any effect on the smooth, cool Polynesian man, huh?
Hey, if he can turn him into Jeff George, then I guess he can get it done.
It does seem like fire and water to me. I just have to say that I don't know. I don't know where that's going. But they did add a lot of depth at linebacker, as though, like you said, that they're trying to defend the run first. Don't know that that helps them much against the Kansas City Chiefs. But the question mark at quarterback for the Chargers, status quo, I think really the bright spot is that outside of the Chiefs, I feel like the local guy that's getting the most faith is Drew Lock in Denver, who's clearly going to be their starter, and they're building around him. But is any of these teams going to be in a significantly different position than they were last season to try and push the Chiefs for the AFC West title?
Yeah, I mean, all of these teams, you look at them, and some of them have done some nice things. I mean, you look at, like you said, I mean, hey, I'm not going to, you know, bash all the Raiders moves because I think there's a couple of them that are nice. I still just don't think that they've done enough to catch up with the Chiefs. Denver, I think, has done some really nice things if you're assuming that Drew Lock is going to be as good as a lot of us think that he can be. And if that's the case, I mean, they're getting some offensive line around him and doing a pretty good job there. Still think that Melvin Gordon deal is going to blow up in their face, but hey, it's only 2 years. So, you know, it's not like a Todd Gurley deal in the Rams. So, you know, it's not going to kill them. And the Chargers, hey, dropping off from Phillip Rivers is going to be a big deal. I mean, even with getting Chris Harris, maybe even with, you know, some of the other additions they've had, I'm not sold that. And even as I say that the Chargers might have the best defense in the AFC West, I don't think that they were better than they were a month ago. I mean, the loss of Phillip Rivers is that big. I'm not sold on Tyrod Taylor. And all indications are that, you know, the Chargers are going all in on getting their franchise quarterback this year, that they're going to go out and get a rookie. So Tyrod Taylor is certainly not even the quarterback of the future for that team. The Chargers are playing for the future. I mean, if they're going out and getting another quarterback, you know, their quarterback this year, that's a team that's not really expecting to compete until 2021, 22, 23.
Yeah. And I question what that means for the Chiefs in terms of reaction, because it does feel like the return of Eckler in LA, I'm guessing Herbert ends up to be their quarterback. You got to protect him with a more dedicated running game. I think Anthony Lynn's more apt to do that. I think Josh Jones is going to have to help Carr even more in Vegas. So it feels like Gordon and Lindsay as a tandem, seems everybody else in the AFC West is going to try to play keep away from Pat Mahomes and run the ball more. We've heard that the Chiefs are interested in a coverage linebacker. Makes perfect sense after the struggles of the past. Do you feel like the Chiefs are strong enough right now without Pinnell and Ragland to defend the run of what they're looking at in 2020?
I think they showed late in the season that, you know, they were able to compensate for some of those weaknesses there. So, you know, I mean, they're still in a position where, you know, the Chiefs can do basically what they did at the end of the year, which is just playing a lot of dime defenses and using safeties instead of linebackers to cover guys. I mean, that's not a problem. I mean, and it clearly worked for this team. So I think they can scheme around that, but you're right. I mean, you know, the one thing that this defense, the Chiefs defense, is really missing is a coverage linebacker type. I mean, I keep saying, I mean, they need a, you know, 26-year-old Derek Johnson. I mean, that's what this defense really needs, is a guy like that. So whether that's in free agency, the draft, I mean, that's a position I think they're going to try and hit really, really hard. There's some other spots too, but you're right. I mean, especially with the way that the AFC West is stacking up, with the way that, you know, offenses are being built, that's a position that the Chiefs have got to hit hard, because you're right. I mean, those three teams are trying to look at this and say, how can we beat the Chiefs? How can we keep up with the Chiefs? They know that they can't stop Patrick Mahomes. Chargers are trying. I mean, they've gone out and built a secondary that they think can do it. But offensively, they're trying to build offenses that are ball control, they're going to play keep away, because I think that's the only way to beat Patrick Mahomes is keep him off the field.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. It's what I would try to do as well. Folks, if you haven't checked out At Last, we've heard us talk about it. Matt did a great job on that. He continues to run all kinds of content at Chiefs Digest. Make sure you check that out as well. Matt, thanks for all of your time this week.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Folks, we will have more for you tomorrow, and good Lord, if anything actually happens with this organization, we will let you know immediately, so stand by, sir, for an emergency pod. It'll be kind of fun to do, so thank you for all of your time this week. Hope you are sheltering in place and dealing with being indoors. Hope we can help you get through that. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll check in with you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.